God bless thee.
God bless you.
And may the love of God be in the hearts of each and every one of you. And may you know his presence in your hearts. And may you know his peace as we talk one with another. So, we have been told now through the pages of your holy book that we must cleanse and prepare ourselves, that we must allow the true man to come forward now, the new man, the cleansed one, the purified one, the pure spirit of your being must now begin to show itself, and we must do away with unkind thinking. We must dispense with foul talking. We must clear our mind and our spirit to allow this new being to show forth and to come forward into this high presence, the presence of God and the love of his Son Jesus Christ. Consider, we sit and we pray. And in our prayers, we ask many things, and sometimes this prayer is not heard. And you will say in your hearts, why is it? I come before the Father, and I pray so much for the good of others, for the sick and the suffering. I pray for my involvement. I pray that I may find the truth. But the Father does not hear me. Still I am floundering. Still I cannot pick up in my mind these things I want to know. I cannot make them register in my thoughts and take their perfect and rightful place in my thinking. Why does he not, the Father, answer my prayer? I will tell you. I will tell you. Out of the mouths of babes and the sucklings will come the truth. Will come the pure thought, the pure prayer, the pure deed, the pure love. But out of the mouths of those who are corrupt in their thinking and their speaking, and whose tongues give way to vanity and the foul speaking, the Father will not hear this, no matter how much they plead, no matter how much they pray for enlightenment. They can sit among those who inspire all the days of their life, if they will not seek change within themselves, as the sister Wendy has read to you so beautifully, then they will continue to walk in the darkness of their own confusion and of their own corrupt and foul thinking, like attracts like, you will say, on this earth plane. And so it is, so it is. How can you be pure when there is uncleanliness in your heart and in your mind and on your tongue? How can you talk to God knowing this to be so? How do you expect him to listen to a tongue he knows is not true and is corrupt? Rather he will wait until you have prepared yourselves as the true loving spirits, not as the human beings, but as the true spirits, so that this pureness of your thought will affect and show forth in your material living. How can you ask the Father to forgive when you will not forgive yourself, your neighbor? How can you ask the Father to understand when you will not understand your neighbor, or your brother, or your sister, or your mom, or your papa? How can you expect him to love you if you will not love your brother and all those kindred to you? How can you ask him to forget all the things you have done in your life, so that you may start anew, if you will yourself not forget all these corrupt ways and the foul talking and foul thinking and jealousy and hate and the bitterness and animosity one towards another? Did not Christ say to his disciples, as an eternal message to mankind, love ye one another as I have loved you? This message comes down through eternal time and will continue to do so. If you are going to go about your Father's business, first wash your hands, cleanse your heart, purify your being, so that the love and the grace can flow uninterrupted and unimpaired or impinged, whichever you wish to call it. Listen to those words Sister Wendy has wrote in your hearts. They were the choice of Brother John. And Brother John would say, but why did I choose this? Why was it suddenly put into my brain? I will tell you, Brother John. I put it there because I want you to know that this which you have written is the law of God. I know it has been manhandled and misinterpreted in many ways, but I will promise you, this is one way in which it has not been misinterpreted. It's something you cannot misinterpret. The purification of the spirit to harmonize your thinking and your loving with the thinking and the loving of God. According to the examples he said to us by his Son, Jesus Christ, there are many who will say, but I am a servant of God. I preach in his temples. I baptize the newborn. I consecrate his children and all those things which are concerning him. I solemnize the marriage oath. I bless those who have entered into his kingdom. But if there is one speck of ungodliness within, he is not a servant of God. And those who would turn one away from the house of the Father, for whatever reason, is not a servant of God. And those who will refuse to perform unto the Lord his oaths are not servants of God. And therefore, Brother John, it fills the heart of Marcello so much when you allow little children to play in your temple during your worship. For blessed others. And he pleases me so much when you will try to make the words of Marcello and the Bradegastis Emmanuel understood in your teachings. And when you cry to them to make them understand you, do not condemn them for them unseeing wise. You have performed unto the Lord your oath and his oath. And will you allow those to come before your altar and take the holy sacraments and receive the blood and the wine, even though they are not of your faith? Blessed are you, my son, for you have served your father well. For here in this plain there are many what you call religions. Here in his kingdoms there is but one God, and there is but one faith, and there is but one truth. And you have heard this in your heart, Brother John, and you have obeyed his commandments. Teach your brethren so, but remember, Brother John, and remember all of you, never condemn. Always receive them. Understand them if you can. If you can't understand them, then ask the Father to help you to receive understanding for why this child has been put before you. He is there for a reason. He is there for a truth unto yourselves and unto your learning. So you see, there was a perfect reason, Brother John, that you chose these words. And you chose the one to read them, who read them with the perfection and the meaning. And I want you to take these words into your heart. Go to your homes, go to your private sanctuary or wherever it is you wish to go. Lay in your cot and read these words to yourself. For these are the words which will open the love of God to your prayers, and he will receive them. If you obey these things you have chosen to read to yourselves, these are the laws of the prophets, and these are the laws which will govern mankind for all eternity. For as long as there is a human being upon this earth plane, these laws shall stand, and they shall not be altered in a true conception. You understand what I am saying to you now? Is there anyone ask a question of Marcello concerning what we have written and read? Is clear in the hearts of each and every one of you what I have said to you all? I know many times when you are making the laughter and you are happy in your hearts, let it be a clean and joyful happiness. Let it not be uncleansed by foul words and the foul thinking and the corrupt conversations. Let your laughter and your joy be a pure laughter and a pure joy, for there is the justice, the much happiness and the purity in cleansiness, more so in the truth. And you may find it bravado to say these things, but the Father will turn away. He will not hear your prayer. And you will walk in doubt all of your life, because he will not hear, he will not listen. He does not want to know. He wants to know what is within your spirit, So come therefore before God and cleanse yourselves. Cleanse your hearts and your minds. And in truth you may say, therefore, Father, I have obeyed thee and purified myself in your love. Therefore may it be thy grace to make me a channel of your peace and an instrument of your love. I have talked for a long time now on this subject, and so I will listen to you talking now. I want for you to talk with Marcello. Ask of me what you will, and we will talk of other things to lighten your heart. Who now, therefore, will talk with Marcello? No one? Why is it so silent when you seek to learn? What is these eager hearts which seek to know? Ask and it shall be given. Who will talk with me? Brother John, will you not talk with Marcello?
Would you like to talk on citizens of heaven?
The citizens of heaven, Brother John.
Same title, but in the world, but not of it.
Citizens of heaven in this world, Brother John, as such as yourselves, who will teach the laws and the love of God, and who will practice them and demonstrate them as an example of his love and of the love of God and of the love of Christ. These are they who will sacrifice all things in order to serve those who suffer. These are they who will make the sacrifice of material possessions in order to journey into lands, administering unto those who seek his love. These are the citizens of God. These are the citizens of heaven, Brother John, on earth. These are those who can love and forgive according to the way of the Spirit. These are they who can serve and heal, and who can pray according to the love of the Spirit. These are they who can administer Christ's love, not only upon mankind, but upon his animal kingdom, and upon all creatures of this earth, and who can see them equal to themselves, from the greatest to the smallest, and will set no divide between the meek and the lowly, and the rich and the mighty. These are citizens of heaven on earth, Brother John. When you see a little child come to you, and he pray beside you, and he will look into your eyes with love and adoration, this is a citizen of heaven on earth, Brother John. When you see one who is aged and weak and unable to serve for themselves, and they turn to you with the longing in their eyes and the pleading in their hearts, in love and trust, this is a citizen of heaven on earth, Brother John, and he who will receive them and they love them and they bless them, according to the teachings of our Savior Jesus Christ, our Lord. He also is a citizen of heaven on earth, Brother John. Is this make you content?
Yes, thank you.
Hanny, what of we brother Christy?
I'd love to talk to you, Moscow Elk.
Then you talk away. Talk away.
I just can't think of the subject that I was going to ask you about.
On to me.
You were with us the other evening. And one or two questions arose after the meeting. And there was quite an important one, but I can't think what it was now. It was to do with the different people that have various gifts of mysticism, all sorts of things, that in the main were considered to be gifts of God. But some people use them in one way, others use them in a totally different way. And then there was the situation of some people having been blessed with a gift that didn't seem worthy of that gift because of their own normal being.
Let us take this conversation, Brother John, a little by little. First of all, we talk of this word in mysticism. There is only one mystery to man, Brother John, that man should concern himself with. And that is the mystery of the power of God and the creation of man and all that man is. When we come to talk of mysticism, what is the mysticism other than a trickery created by man? And I will tell you, Brother Christopher, when a man can say to you, oh, I can perform a trick and make this or happen or this disappear or something else occur or appear. Is a man made a trick, Brother John? And I will tell you also, many of those things of which a man describes as a phenomena are only a phenomena of man, created by man. The only true phenomena which man should concern himself with are those things which are created directly by the love of God and through his power and energy blessed into the spirit of man. I refer to the gifts of the Spirit, not to the gift of a quick hand or a quick tongue, but the gift of the Spirit and the quickening gift of inner vision, the gift of a healing, the gift of tongues, the gift of the Spirit, Brother Christopher, is the true mystery and the only mystery that man should concern himself with. And when he has come to terms with his gifts of the Spirit, then he must apply them according to the will of God, not according to the needs of man. And I may confuse you by saying this before you ask me.
No, you don't question me.
Tomea, you are a very intelligent soul. Man must evolve through the love and the power of his spirit. He must take from this love and this power those things which enable him to demonstrate and perform the gifts of the Spirit according to the love and will of God, and through his grace and his grace only, not through the grace of the instrument as you call him, as I call him also. But don't allow yourself to become confused by charlatans and tricksters, and those with false hearts and false thinking. you will know them, Brother Christopher. Again, Isaac the Father, through his Son, Jesus Christ, the taught, by their fruits ye shall know them. By the fruits of their love, by the wine from the grape, from the essence of their being, you will know them, Brother Christopher. And you, being a child, earnestly seeking the love of God within yourself and the understanding of the mysteries of God in your heart, you will know them when you see them. For the Father loves his servants, and he will open his eyes to the charlatan and the fool, and the trickster, and the one with a quick tongue, with a quick hand. If you will read your Psalm 144, you will find there in the Song of David, I am correct this time, am I not? I will not confuse you. Where David sang to the Father, Father, rid me and deliver me from the hands of his strange children, whose right hand is a right hand of falsehood, and whose tongue speaketh vanity. This is a simple prayer of David, but it is a fervent prayer, and a prayer of deep meaning. He knew of these people of whom you speak, Brother Christopher, for they existed then as they exist now and will exist in a time immemorial to come. For every wise man, there is many a fool. If this was not so, how would a wise man become wise? There will always be, as David foresaw, those whose right hand is a false right hand, and those whose tongues were tongues of vanity, and so therefore their mouths could only speak words of falsehood and corruption. These are they, Brother Christopher, who you will determine, would you not, Brother John, as a false prophet. And these are the sheep of the evil one. These are they who have wandered from the flock. These are they who will wander on and be devoured by the wolf. And these indeed are the wolf in those same sheep's clothing, the ones that he has desired to devour. He will clothe himself and hide himself beneath their skins and create an image of good for himself, only to strike evil and trickery and falsehood and denunciation and corruption into the hearts of those who are too timid to become enlightened and too afraid of the love of God. Even the Brother John would surely say to him, Marcello, many there are such as these in my flock. Is this not so, Brother John? But we will not turn him away. By the example of your love and of your grace and of your belief in the Father and his mercy, we will seek to save them rather than destroy them. For a life destroyed is of no value to God. It's no value to itself, any more than it is of value to the one who destroyed it. It becomes a burden and a guilt of a conscience. But save them, redeem them, be the good shepherd. And as I reminded you the last time I spoke with you. Do I see Christ bathed unto Peter? Save for my flock, feeding my sheep. Be the good shepherd as he was. Is this the answer for your question, Brother Christopher?
Yes, thank you very much, Master. There was a question following what we were doing last week.
We have a loosened his tongue.
It was a word you said that reminded me about God, the Creator. In a book we call the Bible, chapter 1 talks of God creating the world and all that's in it in 7 days. In my naivety, I would ask, is that correct?
Before I worry you too much, Brother John, let me explain this. He performed this miracle of creation in 7 stages. Man has termed it as the 7 days. And who is to condemn him for this? Why shouldn't he say this if he wishes? It is perhaps a good way of measuring these stages in which the Father created the earth. Let it be known that with many of these stories you will read in the Bible or your holy book, though, as I have said before, they have been corrupted and sometimes misinterpreted or reinterpreted into a slightly different way. And I am quite sure in my heart that in the most occasions this was done with good intent and innocence. According to the level of the awareness and understanding and intelligence of those times. You understand what I am saying to you, Brother John?
Yes, I do.
And you understand this, Brother Christy?
Yes, thank you,
so, he took 7 events, or 7 stages of evolvement to create this earth. So man, in his humble, simple way, has he termed it as the 7 days and the 7 nights. So be it. Why destroy this? Why destroy this fable, if you wish? This interpretation you have laid to it. Is it quite adequate? And quite a simple one for man in his simple way to understand. Perhaps a little difficult for those who are enlightened and are in the progression and state of evolvement to equate with. Don't allow it to cause it confusion for yourselves. Allow it to become simply a part of reason. And let those who will accept it in this way, accept it this way. And let those who cannot, try to understand as I have pointed out to you. There is also this way to view it and to try to understand it. There were 7 stages of progressive evolvement creating this earth. And also its universe. And a fool will say to you, who is God's God? As I heard one foolish one say, I have told you, and I will tell you until you transcend into these planes and discover for yourselves there is one God. but one God, and in no other God. And he has no God, but he has the magnificence and the omnipresence of universal life, through which he has become manifest in man. You will search all of your lives, and you will search the Gospels of your holy book, and you will find only this is taught, for only this is so. There is but one God, and one omnipresence, and those who foolishly talk of wars in heaven and upheavals in heaven talk with the mind of a child who has a great big imagination in order to suit his own misinformed way of thinking and interpretations of life. There is no war in heaven, and there has been no wars in heaven, and will never be, as long as there is a loving God. Is this answer for your question, Brother Christy?
Yes, thank you, Master.
And there is nothing else you wish to ask myself?
There are dozens of things, but I can't think of any at this point.
And Brother John, has anything I have just said disturbed you?
Disturbs me, but interesting. When you talk about there has never been wars in the heavens, I accept that. When there is war on earth, that is only the faintest spray, the war on earth is only the faintest spray of the war that's being waged within the astrals. When nations go to war and there is fighting on earth, the fighting on earth is only a faint reflection of the enmity that is being waged within the astral. Is that correct?
Brother John, what is war?
The hate of man for man.
In just a few words, Brother John, it is a reflection of a man's stupidity and the result of his blindness. It is the result of his refusal to accept man as a man, as his equal. It is his refusal to accept that he can evolve and walk into a state of peace and love here on this earth plane as simply as he can if he were to be a true servant of God and enter into the kingdom of heaven. But so long as a man is foolish enough to revolt against the law of God, he will be consumed by wars. Has it not been said again in your holy book? I speak of wars and rumors of wars. Is this not so, Brother John? He speaks of these wars which go along in these plains wherein no one is going anywhere particular. And as you see those who fight these wars, Brother John and Brother Christopher, no one who fights a war or causes a war or incites the continuance of a war is going anywhere very fast in the eyes of God. He is only condemning himself to the darkness of his deeds, whether it be in these outer realms, if you want to call them, or whether it be on earth, or even the brother John, and this I think you will understand, even if it is within his heart, so it shall be. He shall create for himself his own darkness, for there is nowhere on this earth or in these lower spheres that man can find contentment, and the contentment and the peace and the love of God, because he will not forget his need for possession and possession of other things which other people possess. He will not cast aside greed and avarice and the hate and the lust and all things which are harmful to his progression. If he wishes to hoard his things and still reach out for more, even though he is not disputing things with others in doing this, if he is doing this in his heart, he is still creating a war within himself. And the war is simply this. Should the higher self, which is of the spirit, win this war and come to the fore and say, forsake these things, for great is your reward in heaven. Or is his base awareness and his immaterials being going to come to the fore and say, I will keep these things to myself, and I will reach out for more, even if I have to crawl over someone else to do it, and claim their possessions also. Is this not a war, Brother John? Is this not a war within his heart? Is this not the war the greedy man will hold? And look at his face and see his fear when someone will attempt to take something of this away from him. Look at his eyes when someone will put something in his path for him to take. They will gleam with avarice and greed. Is this not a war in his heart? And if you grade this and you spread it gently, does this not become a war among men, among women, even sometimes to the great sadness of God, among children also? And so it spreads and it grows and it becomes a war among nations. And this is why Christ said he speaks of the wars. He speaks of the wars in a man's heart. And he speaks of the rumors of wars, which will grow from this into the wars of nations. And those who create this, and who are destroyed in this, in their own foolishness, because of their own greed, and lust, and avarice, will they take this into heaven, Brother John? Will they take this into the house of their Father? Could you understand how this could be so? Of course not. Any more than the unclean one I have spoke for earlier on this night would enter into the kingdom of heaven, would be heard of God. He sees them not. Pray though they may for mercy, how can they expect mercy from something they have created themselves, within themselves? And so these wars go on from nations and into these lower realms where they will walk in eternity if necessary, until they come to accept and understand and practice the love of God, and to know his ways, and to seek redemption of their sins, and to seek the opportunity to purify themselves in whatever way, be it in returning into these planes to live life again and to learn the lessons of life in their true essence. Or even if it is to come again into this life and to fall again into this same pit of despair and self-destruction, or will they wish you to walk in eternal darkness and confusion? By darkness I refer to the darkness which is created by their unthinking, the darkness of their thinking. There is a light around them. They can see where they're going. We will not deny them that. But the darkness of their unreasoning is eternal, if they so wish it. But we will always be at hand to stretch out a hand and redeem those who seek his light and his love. Is this the answer for your question now?
Yes, thank you.
And what of his sister Maria? What would you wish to say for Marcello?
What of all of the innocent thousands that go to wars at the bidding of heads of state and things like this, Marcello?
Dear Amici, dear sister Maria.
Hardly know what they're doing.
I have said earlier in my talking with you that here on earth when the man is false and is corrupt, did I not say, my child, by their fruits ye shall know them? And so it is with the Father. When those who are innocent and plunged into these things at the bidding of those who are evil, the Father shall know them for their fruits, and he shall know them according to their aura and their light, and he shall receive them in accordance with these things. He will not condemn them. Is this a make you content?
Mm-hmm.
The Father knows which of those are pure and which of those are evil. He knows the innocent from the corrupt, and he knows the blessed from the unblessed, just as surely as he knows the darkness from light. And even in the darkness of their being, my child, though they are governed by darkness, and seek light, and believe in him, then their light shall so shine that he will see them and know them for who and what they are, and shall receive them accordingly. Is this to make you content, my child? The loving God does not turn away from those he loves, and those he loves he will protect according to his will. And he will guide them and he lead them and bring them into safety and into peace according to their karmic path. It is to make you content now, my child. Benami, please don't let your heart be troubled. This child you have in your heart will be safe. We will protect him and walk with him, and we will govern his ways. You are happy now. It is all you wish to ask, Marcello.
There is one more thing, but I'll save it. Thank you.
You save it. Now you have made Marcello inquisitive. And what of his sister Wendy?
I have a question. Wait. Something that I've wondered about for a long time. It's partly to do what we were talking about.
Speaking from your heart.
You were saying just a little while ago that a man appears to work independently of his higher self, of his spirit. Now, in our Bible, It is basically the truth, what is written in the Bible, but it is written according to the understanding of the man who wrote it.
See.
We have the story of Adam and Eve.
See.
And I have always wondered what it was that the man who wrote the story is describing when he describes the tree of knowledge. And if there was paradise before man ate of the tree of knowledge, and now we have this separation between the way our mind and our spirit, we are not one. What was it that split us? What was prevents us now from being one? Was it that tree of knowledge? Was it misnamed by the person who wrote the story?
Simply, what you call it, sister, when the has an analogy of life. What split man from this are those very things I have been talking of in these moments. Man split this with his impurities and with his greed and his lust and with his own wicked ways. This really is what the story of Adam and Eve are about. Was man, was he tempted? And he took from the fruits of the tree of life. Is this not so?
Yes, but what I don't understand, if life was so good, so perfect, what on earth could tempt a man to spoil that?
Tell me what is in your heart, my child.
I do not understand.
See.
According to this story, man was given life.
See.
Okay, so I assume that means when he came...
He was created.
He was created.
Into a living force.
Yeah.
See.
Does this mean that the first time he was created as a man and not as a spirit? Or was he created as a spirit first and then became a man?
It's very simple. Who was the spirit? And the Father housed the spirit so that it could be identified and made an individual being. Could be separated from these many spirit lights which would inhabit the earth if this were not so. So, he had to give them identity, if you wish. He gave them a body. Each body was a different body. No man is the same. No woman, no child. No part of creation is identical. You understand this, Sister Wendy?
Yes, I do.
They are separate. They are a spirit which was sent to evolve. And so the Father created for this a body through which to evolve and to protect the spirit from its elements of this earth and to become identifiable one from another. Is this a make you contain?
Yes,
you understand what Marcello is saying
that,
to you?
That was perfect, Marcello. I understand completely, yes.
Pardon me.
Thank you very much.
It's very simple, is it
yes,
not?
Very simple.
You are a very beautiful woman. Instrument is a very ugly man. So you see, you have a different. You can describe one from another. But Marcello is a spirit.
Yes.
You cannot describe the difference between what I look like and what you look like. Because you cannot see the spirit, but you can see the human form, which houses the spirit, which God created and placed within this human form for that very purpose. So you would know you are not this ugly man, and he would know he is not this beautiful woman. Is this a maker happy?
Yes, thank you very much.
But... many, many great wisdoms are taught and learned in happiness and in joy and in frolic sometimes also. You are now content.
Yes, thank you.
See. I wish now to ask of his sister Jacqueline to talk with Marcello.
I've got a question, Marcello. Your way you started off commenting about Bible reading, I must admit that made me feel as I've got to get back to the basics again. I feel as though I've got a lot to learn down here. And that's been on my mind, but I haven't really got a question at the moment, myself.
Don't let your heart be troubled, Sister Jacqueline. We know where you stand, even if you don't. We know that you are no different to any other human soul here on this earth. But we do know that you do seek in sincerity and in love. And sometimes we plead for your sanity when Brother Christopher plays his tricks. It's enough to make even a saint curse. But we know and love you both, because we know in your heart you are mindful of the love of God and the need to equate with that love. And so you spend in your lifetime a lot of thought in seeking to find a way of cleansing, purifying and ridding yourself of these things. You do not revel in them and do not refuse to accept them for what they are. You take unto yourself account of yourself many times in your quiet moments, and this we know. So please, Sister Jacqueline, do not condemn yourself, but praise your God and glorify his name and his presence in your life, and all these other things will fall away from you, and his love will be added unto you in its place. Is this to make you content, Sister Jacqueline?
Thank you, Marcello.
Bene mia, Brother John.
In the story of the creation, that part of the story which deals with woman, Eve, the writer says, and God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he took the woman from the rib of Adam's side. Now, what does that mean?
I wish I knew you, Brother John, because I don't know where this particular thing came from.
Would you be kind enough to ask on your side and give us an answer?
I really seek for you, Brother John, a reply to this, which is in accordance with your earthly understanding. This you make you content.
Yes, please.
Saying the merici.
What is the spirit teaching of that?
Told the merici. Morate, sì. Mentono. Ecco papare e padento, uno tende me e tallo e tette. Sì, che maro, e mamma pece tette. Tolte. Sì, mezzi capo. E l'anno, sì. E rotare a pello, papare, molto sì, da paita. Ecco mamma, tutti, sì, no. Brother John, I have asked those of my teachers, and we will say for you, Brother John, man in his simple way has a great and vivid imagination, And this was not so. He took nothing from the man to create the woman. But he created two spirit forms. One was, as you would say, a macho, macho. You understand this?
Yes, macho image.
And the one would create to balance this, because the Father knew all things must be balanced in order to grow and to expand and evolve. There must be perfect coordinates. There must be a perfect means through which conceivement and conception can be made possible. You understand this, Brother John?
Yes, sir.
So it is. He created the female spirit, and he created the male spirit, not only in man, but in fowl and the beast and the termite alike. Did he take a rib from a rabbit to make a female rabbit, Brother John? Did he take a rib from a bull to make a cow? Ask yourself these things, Brother John. Did he take a rib from a cockerel to make a hen? Of course not. He created the male and the female spirit, and he created them in his own image. He created them in the image of love. This was his image, and he gave them the appearance of man. He did not give them the appearance of himself. You understand this, Brother John? Can you understand what I have said to you?
Yes.
And can you accept what I have said to you?
Yes, thank you. Yeah.
Put it down once again, Brother John, to medieval misconceptions and imaginations.
Yeah.
Is a mythical thing, Brother John, not a truth.
Yeah.
But the intention was good, but it has had an awful effect on us, because it has made one lesser than the other in the eyes of those who preach the love of God.
Yeah.
And this is a lesson they must learn and will learn before the Father will receive them.
It's caused a lot of imbalance.
The balance of being, the balance of life, the balance of a creation, the balance of all things, which are perfect in the eyes of God.
Yes,
God. So this must be. And it is wrong to say that anyone of Sister Jacqueline, or Sister Valerie, or Sister Wendy, or Sister Maria, are lesser than anyone of you. They are balanced, where one can withstand one form of strain, the other will balance it by withstanding another form of strain, which the other one could not withstand. You understand this, Brother John?
Yes, perfectly, thank you.
Could a mama build a house with her bare hands and dig great pits and do all these things which a man does? Only the odd one or two. Could a papa conceive a child? Could he raise this child and love it gently and caringly, as a mama does? Could he feed it from her breast? Could he give it this same maternal love that a mama can give? Of course he can't. So the two will balance one another. God created man in his own image. He created male and female alike, perfectly balanced, to blend and match and to recreate among themselves and to conceive and continue this perfect and magnificent conception of the human form in a balanced way. Is this answer for your question, Brother John?
Yes, thank you.
You are content?
Yes.
Have I upset your teachings or from the Bible?
See, that account in that one chapter in Genesis has caused tremendous confusion because it confuses the earth body and the earth life with the spirit life and the spirit.
So it is, Brother John. Remember always, when you take into your arms a newly blessed and born child of God, this little infant child, blessed as an equal and a perfectly born, balanced form of the conception of the love of God. Blessed for what it is, not for who it is. A truly conceived spirit, be it male or female, treat them all as an equal and receive them as such. Do not put them down, one way or another. Receive them all into your heart, for He made them so. This answer for your question, Brother John. You are now content, you are happy.
The Christ spirit was that perfect blend of male and female. And are you, in your own evolution, Marcelo, striving to understand, to achieve that balance of the male and the female within your own person?
Brother John, I am striving still to understand that I am a spirit conceived of God, not of a mama or a papa, but of God. For it is to this that I have returned. You shall return from whence you came, Brother John. And the great lesson in your evolvement is to accept that you are neither one thing nor the other, that you are a true and perfect conception of spirit, love, light, and the universal goodness and praise and blessing, purity. A universal purity, Brother John, until you become not simply a universal one. The goal of a Marcello is to become a celestial spirit.
Yes.
Is this make you content
now? Yes, I understand perfectly.
Bene me. Bene me.
God bless you.
See. So, we have recovered many aspects of your creation and of your being. But of all of these things that you have spoken, and of all of these things that you seek and aim to be, and of all that you are now, all that you have been in the past, consider them. Ask yourselves which of these things I must strip away from my life in order that we may avoid this dark war within we have spoken of, in order that we may avoid the corruption of our being and therefore the disruption of our spiritual journey through life eternal. Which of these things must I strip from myself And you will look and ask yourself this question many times. And many times you will experience an agonizing choice. Where your material says you must hang on to these things because they are of value to you. They will give you great prestige here on this earth plane. They will give you great standing among your neighbour and your fellow men. Yours is the choice. Which is important to you? To have these things in life which are going to mean so much to your life materially. Things which you will leave behind in any case. Because they are not yours in reality. Or will you take those things through life and make this a supreme choice in life to accept only into your life those things which are of God, those things which are of the Spirit, those things which are involved with the involvement of your Spirit, those things which cleanse and purify your high thinking, those things which make you and enable you to become a child of God, a servant of His peace, an instrument of His grace, a temple of His love and power here on earth. Do you not say in your Lord's Prayer, as you said this night, let it be on earth as it is in heaven? You pray for this, you ask for it, you strive for it. Do you strive for it? How hard do you strive for it? How many times in your life have you said this prayer? How many times have you uttered these words to God? And how many times have they simply been what I have described them, simply words? How often in your life have they been a plea from your Spirit to the Spirit of God to allow your life and your growth to be the same here on earth as it is in heaven? Give us this day our daily bread. Are you thinking of your next meal, of your pasta? Or are you thinking of the bread of life? Forgive us our trespasses, or our debts, as some will say, as we forgive those who are debtors against us and who trespass against us. Do you forgive them? Do you truly forgive? Do you forgive them when you say, oh well, we let them off, but I won't trust them again? Is this forgiveness? Or will you say, here, have another one. I will trust you again. For this is what you are saying to their father. This is what you are doing to their father. You are desecrating your own praise to the God whom you say you love. Hallowed be thy name. And well we may ask that this be done. Well we may ask. For thine is the kingdom. And thine is the power and the glory. Forever and ever. And is this not also to be added unto you if you can believe it and live this one simple prayer, the prayer that the Master Jesus Christ taught himself and taught his disciples to pray? When you pray, Christ said, do not use vain repetitions as the hypocrites in the street and in the synagogues and on the corners, but enter into your closet and there, talking to your father in secret, and your father who will hear in secret will answer your prayer. He will hear you and know you. We don't mean walk into a cupboard and shut the door and then pray so no one can hear you. We are talking of entering into this inner being, this body which the Lord God gave you to protect your spirit. And whilst it is closeted within this body, there let the spirit pray to God, and let your words come from the spirit and not for the material mind. I have said many times, have I not, when I talk with you, I talk a spirit to a spirit. My spirit, the spirit of Marcello, is talking with the spirit of each and every one of you, not to the material one. And it is then for the spirit to appeal to the material awareness, to enlighten it, to enrich it, to make it grow into something pure and beautiful and of light, so that your light can so shine before men that they may see your good works, the good works of your own spirit within, talking with the Spirit of God, enlightening your darkness, enriching your aura, so that they can see the light of your countenance around you. Enter into your closet and there talk with your Father. And your Father, which will hear you in secret, will know you for the child of God that you are, and that Marcello knows you to be, each and every one of you. And therefore, when you pray to him, and you pray this Lord's Prayer, don't mumble as I have heard it done this night. Don't let it become a part of a ritual, a part of a program of events. Let it come from your spirit. Say it aloud. Say it with joy, say it with the meaning, if meaning is there. And say it with your heart, and say it aloud, so he can hear you, just as you can hear Marcello now, pleading on the behalf of the love of God, to your understanding of him. Cleanse the spirit, and these all these things, Sister Wendy, you spoke of so beautifully when you read of them from this book. And all these things, Brother John, are the things which your lifetime of calling has taught you are so. If there is anything Marcello has said in these few moments that is in contradiction with all those things you teach, then tell Marcello so. But search again, Brother John. Search again in your own heart. For there are many things Marcello has said which must be improved upon. You understand this, Brother John?
Yes, thank you.
Remember, when God sees a worthy spirit, he will taste it and try it and place it in all the forms of temptation. And great will be its burden many times. It will know sadness and it will know joy. It will know torture and torment. It will know enrichment and enlightenment. It will know relief. And eventually, and more importantly, it will come to know and recognize the love of God and the power of His majesty and the grace of His being and all of these things of which I have spoken to you will come in the essence of the purity of your own being. Be ye perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Therefore be pure. Be pure in your words, in your thoughts, in your deeds, and even in your manner of speaking. Let nothing foul or forbidden pass your lips, even in what you will call fun. For to us it is foolishness and of no essence to your progression and evolvement. Please, please don't think that Marcello has come here to scold you. It's not so. I have come here to love you. I have come here to protect you. I have come here to enlighten and enrich your being. Many times people will say, how do we do this? What must we do to receive these things? You may no longer ask this question, for because I love you so, and because your involvement is of so much importance to me, because I see the dedication and sincerity in your heart, Marcello must, from time to time, speak in this wise as a constant reminder to you, so that you will never forget, that you will not pass from this little room and allow Marcello's words not to be heard, never to be remembered. I ask you, remember them well, if you wish to be all that you seek to be in your praise. You understand what I have said to you. I speak this so lovingly and with so much importance. I want you each to take these words home and to recall them, to replay them to your hearing, to take a copy of these words, and also for Sister Valeria, that they will and you will remember them and abide by them always if you are to progress and achieve those things you seek. Does this make you understand? You understand what I have said to you? Remember the garden of which we spoke of last time we were with you. All those things, and those things I have spoken of this night, intertwine and become one. You will see this when the Brother Christopher or whoever is going to be appointed the task transcribes these words into the pages, and you will read them and you will see they will follow on and will be understood. Is this a make you content now? Is no one who would ask of Marcello any further questions? Then, remembering the words of Marcello, let us now talk with the Father. Eo prepare. Let the words of their mouths and the meditations of their hearts be acceptable in thy sight, whence they pray, O God. and may they be acceptable in thy sight this night, O Lord. For we as thy servants seek to open the eyes of these thy children through your love and grace and eternal care, that they may walk from the darkness of their ways and the ways of this life wherein they live, and walk into the light of understanding, of peace and love and the eternal joy. May they each in their own just course fulfill their pathways through life, performing unto thee their oaths, O God, as we of thy realms strive also to walk in thy light and eternal peace and the celestial grace. Enter into their hearts, O Father, and be their light and their countenance, and open the doorway of their hearts that they may enter in and fulfill those things they seek to fulfill, blessed with the gift of the Spirit. And may their spirit unfold, O God, and shine ever in thy sight and in the sight of man, that where there may be healing, let it be so. And where there may be teaching, let it be so. And where the gifts of a vision shall unfold and reveal thy truths, let this also be so, O God. And where the gifts of the tongues shall recite the words of your love into the hearts of mankind, again, O God, let this be so for them, so that the words of the praise of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, shall be made known unto them in their entirety. Let these things be done unto them, and let their knowledge unfold, and so be it on earth as it is in heaven. And hallowed be their name, O God, according to their serving. And hallowed be their light, according to the depths of enkindlement and enrichment of service to thee. And let this task they have laid before themselves to put before the children of their being the words of these of thy servants ordained of thee and orated according to thy will. So let it be according to their need. May the love of the Father and the love of the Son and the love of the Holy Spirit rest now and remain and dwell within the heart and spirit of each and every one of you. And may the love of Christ, the Son of the one true living God, and the example of his love and mercy be forever in your hearts and a light unto your darkness. May you walk in his peace and love. May you bathe in his truth. by you resting in his eternal peace. Through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. God bless you, my children. May you walk in peace. May you walk in love. May you walk in his grace. Amen.